better. No, Josh Nichols is better. No, John Odomen is better. John Nichols.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Hello.
That's pretty good.
I try. John, today we're talking about not Josh, not John, but Billy. Billy Madison.
Billy Madison. Welcome to Pop Culture Problems.
Welcome, ladies and joims. We're here to talk about a classic, classic, stupid movie.
Yes.
I mean, I was just telling you about this. I don't remember a ton of it, but I remember it being one of my favorite movies as a kid, because probably I shouldn't have watched this as a kid. But also, I recall, and we'll talk about the moment later, I had my first biggest laugh of my life. Like, the laugh that you remember for years, and you wish you could replicate that gut belly laugh.
Yeah.
That was with that movie.
Yeah, that guttural laugh that, like, you wish that you could, like, recreate that.
Oh, yeah.
I just could, pure joy.
It was just great. And that was from this movie. So we'll talk about that moment for me. But you have a vivid recollection of this movie.
I do. Well, I just watched it. My wife actually had never seen this movie. And we actually did a little staycation for our second anniversary. Pawned the kid off on the in-laws to have her watched, and then we actually got a hotel and, like, went in the pool, hot tub and stuff, and then went out for dinner and stuff, and we were sitting in the hotel room, like, kind of flipping through the channels, and I landed on Billy Madison, and she was just like, you know, I've never actually seen this movie. So the next night I forced her to watch Billy Madison.
And tell me what she thought. Give me her.
She could understand how adolescent John thought that this movie was really funny. And, like, and it's one of those movies now that you watch and you remember those, like, first guttural reactions you had to it, where you thought it was just hilarious when you saw it. I think I saw it for the first time when I was, like, in fifth grade. And it's hilarious. And it's still funny. And I think, like, if I was going into it, like, totally, it was total virgin territory for me. I'd never seen it before. Like, I would still think it was funny.
And the big, I think the big surprise for me is looking and thinking back on it. It is garbage. it is a heaping pile of trash should never have been conceived of. But even now, like, I would watch that movie today, and I know that I would have a good time and I would laugh. But I don't know why.
Well, I watch it, and I think to myself, why aren't SNL cast members making movies like this now?
I don't know.
Because it's like it's unapologetic and everything it does. The concept is like now as an adult, I think, God, this is really pedestrian, this concept, but it works. I mean, it's a good movie.
Well, yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, Adam Sandler is still making movies that, like, the concept, you're just kind of like, I don't know.
They're trash. They're absolute trash.
But they're actually, like, you can just unplug your brain enjoy them.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies still is Click.
Yes.
I absolutely love Click. And I think Click, I've never cried at a movie. I had my tear ducts removed, sold them on eBay. It's a whole thing. But I've never actually cried in a movie. I actually got the little, like, a little lump at Click, because it was kind of, it was an endearing movie. And it had sad moments. And I'm like, and why? Like, Adam Sandler has the ability to take something like, it's not good.
Yeah.
If I were to give you a mediocre sandwich, like, you know, it's kind of room temperature, the bread's a little hard, it's sat out for a while, a cheese, and you bite into it and you're like, this is the most delicious sandwich I've ever had. That's what he does.
Yes.
He does this, like, it shouldn't work.
He's got this pop culture alchemy. Like, he has this ability to turn anything into gold.
Now,
but
I haven't watched more recent stuff,
which I
heard is really bad. However, are some of the highest watched
on Netflix.
On Netflix.
And, you know, here's the thing. Some of them are really bad. But some of them, like, I think The Do-Over is the one with him and David Spade. I thought that was actually a pretty good movie. I like the Grown Ups movies.
Yeah.
Like, they're fun. And I think one of the things that he gets, like, a bad rap for, like, Adam Sandler, I think people are like, when's he going to grow up and, like, start making more serious fare? Well, he's done the more serious fare, and he's actually done, like, a good job of it. Like, Punch Drunk Love is, like, a very critically acclaimed movie. But I think it's one of those things where he's filling a, he's supplying a demand. People are.
Yeah. When he stops signing $1 million contracts, yes, he'll stop.
Yes.
You know, as long when as we stop keep watching
and paying him, then he will stop doing it. But right now people are, you know, eating it up. But you know, the reason I thought about doing this episode was I looked at the movie when I watched it with my wife a couple weeks ago in the context of one of our earlier episodes about like this, the Disney villains, yeah, yeah, and how they were actually the good guys.
Kind of flipping it upside down.
And yep. I didn't even think about that episode of the podcast until I made this realization during the movie. Billy is, and we'll talk about it more of the, our like favorite parts of the movie and stuff later on. But the thing I wanted to cover here is Billy's kind of the villain, at least up to like the first 98% of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's, for all intents and purposes, Billy should not be handed the reins of Madison Hotels. And so, yeah, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, and if you haven't, I'm sorry, but spoiler alert: Billy is this spoiled rich kid whose dad runs Madison Hotels. He's kind of like a Paris Hilton, but a male Paris Hilton, mm-hmm, and his dad runs this hotel chain that has 60,000 employees. And he's getting to that age where, you know, his dad wants to retire and he wants his son to take over the business, but his son is totally irresponsible and he's going to hand the business off to his number two, Eric, who for all intents and purposes has, you know, for the purposes of the movie has acquitted himself well in the business, yeah, has done a good job of running it. His number three guy, Carl, has kind of a soft spot for Billy. So he sits down with Billy one night. He's like, yeah, I'm going to give the company to Eric. And Billy throws this fit, and then Carl steps in and is like, you know, I could kind of tutor Billy. I could work this out. And his dad's point is, well, Billy couldn't even graduate high school without my help, without me paying, mm-hmm, off his teachers. Yeah. And basically the gist of the whole thing is that his dad basically paid his teachers from like first grade on to move him along. And I mean, it's pretty clear that Billy is delayed intellectually, and he makes this deal with his dad that he'll do every grade in school, first through 12th grade, in 2 weeks, and at the end, if he passes all the tests and stuff and gets his diploma, he'll get Madison Hotels. Well,
I mean, well, first of all, yeah, that's an ambitious thing for him to take on, which clearly the dad didn't think he would be able to do.
Sure.
You know, yeah, but also, I think you're giving him a bad time, John. I think he just didn't apply himself.
Oh, okay. You know what, sure, I mean? Sure. He might not have applied himself, but let's think about this. A guy, you're just a high school graduate, you're going to put in charge of a corporation that is responsible for the well-being of 60,000 people. And, you know, I could say, like, okay, yeah, this guy's got his GED. He's got a high school diploma. He's worked for years and years. He's got like some work experience under his belt. Yeah, sure. I could make that leap. But Billy has basically spent his entire life getting drunk by the pool.
But he's tenacious. This point. He's, you know, like, yeah, a lot of people, like you mentioned Paris Hilton, how this is kind of resembles that, which, you know, she's very successful in her own right. She's more wealthy than you or I will ever be. And, you know, and Billy Madison, coincidentally, does have that spinoff movie, One Night in Madison. So if you're interested, you can watch that. No?
I don't think so.
One Night in Paris, One Night in Madison? No, you don't remember either? I'm just telling for the general public that those exist. But, you know, yeah, I think your point is sound, that he is just...
I think you made a good point there that his dad probably thought there's no way he's going to follow through on this. Yeah, it's harmless. Eric will take over the company when he's done. But that's not what happens.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that happens along the way that is pretty questionable. And you know, then he pushes Eric to his breaking point, which I think every single human being would reach their breaking point after putting years and years and seeing this happen in front of you. You might try to manipulate the situation a little bit too. But, I mean, there's just so many things that Billy does along the way that, like, are questionable character-wise.
Oh, well, yes. From opening to closing credits.
And you're going to put that guy...
I don't recall the last, like, 30 seconds of the movie, but I can only assume that he does something stupid.
Well,
or, like, not, or questionable.
One of the things that I think is, like, so interesting about this movie is that every time he passes a grade, he has this big party at the Madison Manor, at the mansion. And there's no way that the kids in the first grade class were not exposed to things that they should not have been exposed to. Because, I mean, he's got, like, rock bands and stuff, and he's getting drunk with his friends at these parties. You've got people going crazy in, like, the pool. They get a jet ski and, like, this water fountain and stuff. And
which brings me, I think it's a good segue, yes, to my favorite belly
this
laugh
is your
of that
laugh
movie.
Laugh out loud moment, right?
Like, yes. So now I'm gonna tell the
this is on my list of terrible things, by the
way. I'm gonna tell the setup, and then later is the laugh. So this is not the part I laughed at. A clown on stilts, I believe, falls and cracks his head on the pavement and dies.
There's blood, yeah,
and there's blood seeping everywhere, and it's terrible. And, yeah. That's not the part I laughed at. The part I laughed at is later on in the movie. There's a big song and dance number with all the kids and the teachers.
So Billy decides to go back to school.
He's going to go back. And at one part, the clown gets up from what you thought is a post-mortem state. And it's like, hey, kids, I bet you thought that I was dead. But when I fell down, I only broke my leg and got a hemorrhage in my head. And I lost my mind. I lost every.
And then
bit
he
of
joins
my...
the dance number as
oh,
well.
Oh yeah, he joins the dance. Like, literally, I evacuated brain fluid out of my ears. Every orifice was leaking. I'm just gonna say, I could not control my body. It was so stinking funny,
yeah.
And it was so dumb. But, like, that's the thing about that movie is that was such an insignificant part, that guy falling down and stuff, which was a terrible thing to happen at a party with kids present. But it was that should have been the end of that joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then they bring it back.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But that highlights another thing that is kind of on the periphery of the movie is, like, how just bat crap crazy were the grounds of that mansion that a clown could sit there dead for probably a couple months. And
well,
like,
no,
he's
it,
just
had,
still...
it was like a couple of days because he only went to school for 2 weeks, right?
No, he had. It wasn't
2 weeks,
2 weeks
grade?
per grade. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it was like a couple months. That clown's body's just lying there in a vegetative state, and nobody bothers to, like, check on him. And that's because of the culture that Billy had helped build at that mansion, of just, like, there must have been people passed out there left and right the whole time.
Now I don't want to derail your mission for the smear campaign you have against Billy Madison. But here's what I'm going to say. At what point do you say shame on the father? The The deed holder to this mansion is not aware enough of the behavior happening that he can also leave a dead clown laying for months rotting.
That's true. And you know what? The absentee fatherhood of Brian Madison is probably has a lot to do with Billy's the way Billy is. I mean, you could probably chalk that up to a big portion of it.
This episode is as dumb as Billy Madison, but it is equally as funny. Like, I'm just enthralled.
I think, you know, Billy's like the villain, but Brian Madison, he's like a co-conspirator in this whole thing. Because he just enables Billy all the way along the lines. And he has those moments of, like, mature decision making where he's like, you know what? No, Billy, not a chance.
Yeah.
Like when Billy comes down for dinner after the shampoo is better, conditioner is better,
yep.
And he starts, I don't know about this guy, but this guy can stay in my room, and he starts biting his fist. You remember that? Like, he grabs the guy, and he's like,
I think maybe.
But these guys are like professional businessmen. That's not the right setting. And you expect Billy to be able to make deals with these guys?
But Brian Madison, that was the dad's name?
Yeah.
Brian, what the hell are you doing bringing your business partners... when there's dead clowns around, you know, like...
That's a very good point.
I mean, just come on. Like, you couldn't have met at the office? Yes. You're not going to kick out... Like, at what point... You are fostering that behavior.
Absolutely.
It's like, if you give a child a loaded weapon, you can't be upset when he shoots something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to be protective in that way.
You know, I kind of want to wrap this portion of the conversation up because I think there's a lot of like other things that we could talk about in regards to this movie that we really love. But I, you know, throughout the movie, you kind of see Billy like coming around a little bit, and by the end of the movie, that last 2%, Billy makes probably the most adult decision of the entire movie, and that's why at the end he says, "You know what? I'm not going to take over the company. I'm going to give it over to Carl." Because Eric has just like totally gone off the rails. I mean, granted, there's a lot of things that happened to Eric up to that point that kind of pushed him over the edge. Uh-huh. Like during the academic decathlon portion, Eric actually is engulfed completely in flames, and Billy just stands there and laughs at him.
Wow. I see. I don't remember that part at all.
Remember they're like in the home ec lab, and he takes like this pie out of the oven, and all of a sudden he ignites in flames, and
what?
Billy's laughing like you laughed at the clown coming back to life.
I don't remember that part, but again, here's the thing. I'm laughing at this over again, and I don't even remember it, but I'm like, that's good stuff.
It is.
That is good.
But, you know.
Oh, third degree burns are funny. You know, like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But along the lines, you've got some great character actors that show up. You've got some great, I think, actors that show up. Miss Lippy is a great character.
Is that the
first grade teacher that like puts like the paste on her eyes?
Yeah. Oh,
the
yeah.
puppy who lost his way. Yeah, She's the one that read that book.
Yep.
I
love the lunch lady. Like, want some sloppy girls?
Made them extra sloppy for you. But I think two of like the, and one of them has a bigger role than the other. But it's got to be one of Chris Farley's most memorable roles.
Oh yeah, Chris Farley, who was uncredited in the movie.
He didn't even get credit. Which is amazing. Because I think you were looking at this before we started recording, and there was like guys on like the jet ski.
Yeah, that, I wonder if he didn't even need to be credited. Like, because you knew who he was. I wonder if it was just a kind of, maybe he wasn't even planned to be that person. They just said, hey, you want to do this role real quick? He might have just showed up on set that day.
He was just hanging out.
Yeah, just hanging out. And they're like, hey, put on this bus driver cap. Yeah. You know? It might have just been an extra.
Yeah. But I mean, he had so many, some of his lines are like the most memorable of that entire movie when he's talking about that Veronica Vaughn. You know?
Yep.
And Billy's like, no, you didn't. But Billy even picks on him.
Yeah.
Like when he throws the sandwich at him and he almost drives off the road. I mean, that bus driver was just a human punching bag. And they were just doing his job.
Living his life and couldn't, like, hashtag bullying.
Yeah.
That's what this movie is.
Yeah. But, you know, but then there are those moments where, like, what was his little friend's name? Ernie. Ernie, the little kid with the glasses, wets himself at the petting zoo, and he walks up. I mean, that's another great moment. And you know, and that is the thing, is like, it is really a coming of age story. And I'm kind of maybe rethinking my original thesis on this, because I think I was focused a little too much on like the beginning of the movie when Billy really was a ne'er-do-well. And now you got a chance to see him like evolve into a contributing member of society. And in that moment when he splashes the water fountain on the front of his pants, so it looks like he wet his pants. Hey guys, Ernie peed his pants. Billy peed his pants too, and then the entire class ends up wetting themselves.
Yeah, they just think it's cool. And that, honestly, I just recall that's one of my favorite lines in the entire movie. Is there's like this
the old lady,
like, tour
yeah.
guide, and she's like, if peeing your pants is cool, you can call me Miles Davis. And it's like, what? And it's just terrible. But he did do some redeeming things. But just for me, I wonder, and I rarely like to agree with you, but, you know, like, here's the thing. Let's say on the way to murdering someone, a serial killer helps someone across the street. You know, do you forgive them all
their
transgressions
prior or
future? So, yeah, Billy did pretend to urinate himself in order to help a kid. But did that forgive everything he ever did?
And you kind of think about this from like kind of a Machiavellian standpoint. Was he doing that to help Ernie? or to ingratiate himself with Miss Vaughn.
Yeah. Oh, geez. He's a...
I mean, if you look at the storyline here, he was kind of a party boy. I'm sure he's not... He's no stranger to manipulating the thoughts and feelings of a young lass here or there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure he's done that in the past. I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't have done it in that situation.
I like putting the microscope on movies like this and kind of considering what we think is just and right. Because we watched that movie just having fun. John, and you've ruined it. Now I can't watch that movie just for kicks. Now I'm going to be thinking, what a terrible person.
I've got, and it's funny because you referenced this earlier, and there's a great movie that this actor is in that you were like, yeah, I see scenes and I never know if it's from that movie or this movie, but another great SNL alum that was in this movie was Norm MacDonald.
Oh, yep, yep, yep.
And he plays Billy's friend who is like, you know, just like a waste of space, just like Billy is. And he just does such a great job. I mean, and Norm MacDonald, the other movie that he's in that, if you haven't seen it, you got to, is Dirty Work.
Oh, Dirty Work.
But Chris Farley's in that, and he's phenomenal in that as well as just like a secondary or tertiary character.
Yeah, I think that there's some sort of shared universe because I think Chris Farley in Dirty Work is probably the bus driver down
he
in
could
the
be. He could be.
Like, it might just be the same person.
Yeah, he just took a trip to Saigon between the movies.
Just between,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Yeah. Hey, you know, maybe he got reconstructive nose
Him and the Penguin and were on vacation on their honeymoon. They're on their honeymoon in Saigon, and some bad stuff happened. He got stuck there for a couple of years. And
yeah, you know, John, just for I just want to have a little note and disclaimer here. For those of you who have not seen the movies Dirty Work and or Billy Madison, I can see how you're confused by John's statement of maybe the Penguin and him took a trip to Saigon before he became a bus driver. I can see how
after he became a bus driver.
I can see how you're confused at what we're talking about, but that's because you have not seen Dirty Work and or Billy Madison.
And you need to see both.
Yeah, anybody tuning in late, that's what we're talking about. Just for you.
You know, one of the I think the moment in the movie that like Billy really turns the corner is when he calls up Danny McGrath. And Danny McGrath is played by one of, if not my favorite, Adam Sandler movie character actors of all time. I think he is such an underappreciated actor. And it's because of the way he looks. Steve Buscemi.
Oh, Steve Buscemi is great.
And when he calls and he apologizes, Steve Buscemi takes this thing of lipstick, crosses his name off of this kill list that he's got, and then leans back in his lazy boy or whatever he's sitting on and puts the lipstick on. It is just such that character is literally in the movie for like 40 seconds to a minute in totality. And he is such a fully formed, like you know this character's motivations almost completely. and it's because Steve Buscemi does such a great job of just like pulling that off.
Yeah. Well, and I think that those, just like I talked about the clown being such an insignificant part that should have just been left alone, and that why was that funny? It could have been cut from the movie, and nobody.
And I feel like a lot of movies nowadays would cut that scene from the movie.
Yeah, and nobody would have known. Yeah, nobody would have known that if he had just picked up the phone and said, "Hey, so and so, I used to know you. I forgive you," and hung up, and you never flashed to the other side of the phone. Nobody would have missed it. Nobody would have known. But it's such a crucial, cool part of the movie that it's so good that they left it in.
Yeah. Apparently, if you look at his hit list, one of the characters is the son of a character from Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. When I was doing research for this episode, which is very rare for us to do research for an episode.
Well, I never do it. I'm just going to go with
across
it.
That. But like when he... When Eric goes after Billy at the end of the movie, and Danny like saves him by shooting him in the ass, and Billy just goes, "God, I'm glad I called that guy," and he just gives him the thumbs up. Just an awesome moment. It's just hilarious. And oh, yeah.
It's a classic film with classic scenes. But John, so having workshopped and brainstormed this just now,
yeah.
I mean, your feeling is still the same. Are you evolving your opinion?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think my opinion is evolving like Billy evolves throughout the movie.
Oh.
Brian Madison actually might be the bad guy because of his absentee fatherhood and the fact that at the end he still decided to give the company to Billy.
Well, yeah, I mean, he...
Because Billy fulfilled his end of the bargain.
Yeah, and that I think the real lesson here is to not make idle bets.
Yes.
Yeah, just not to say, I bet you a bajillion dollars you can't do that. And then they do it. And then you're bankrupt.
Yeah.
You need to be very careful.
So, you know, one thing that I don't think we've covered, and you may have a couple things that came to mind, but one of the best conversations in the entire movie is when the kids are sitting at the lunch table. And this might be one of the most quoted quotes of the movie, but he's sitting there and this one kid's like, Mortal Kombat on the Sega Genesis is the greatest video game ever created. I disagree. I think while it's a very good game, Donkey Kong is the greatest video game of all time. Donkey Kong sucks. You know what? You suck. And he storms away.
I do like that very detailed and deep conundrum expressed by both the swan and the conditioner and the shampoo bottle. That is a good...
Yeah,
shampoo is better, conditioner better. That, for me, because it's very early on in the movie, illustrates just how stupid that movie is.
It sets the tone very early. And just how funny it is. Like, you know, like, right when you dip your toe in the water, whether or not you want to go in the rest of the way.
Yeah, like, that just sets the whole stage. And for me, that was... I mean, I think that was my first real giggle in the movie, where I'm like, oh, what is happening? I better laugh, because I don't know. Like... Sometimes because you don't know if it's funny.
The first scene with, like, he sees the imaginary penguin is, like, a little over top. You're just like, you don't really know. Yeah, like, this is kind of crazy. And then you get to that and you're like, okay, yeah, this is going to be funny.
But, you know, I wonder if that's something about Sandler's movies. Is it, have you ever been in a situation where everybody around you is laughing and you don't know why?
Yeah.
So you laugh? Does he hit that nerve of making you laugh even though you don't know why you're laughing?
Maybe. Yeah, like
maybe that's what it is.
Like a nervous laughter. Like, yeah, this is supposed to be.
shampoo bottles and swans. And you're like, I have no idea why I'm laughing, but I might as well keep doing it. Like, I think maybe there's a little bit of that there.
Yeah.
That's a... We have to... I wish I knew more about, like, human physiology to realize what actually causes that.
Yeah, like psychology. Just to understand, like... That well, and nervous laughter. I mean, that's definitely a thing. Yeah.
Funny bones.
Yeah,
because I don't know where the funny bone is located exactly.
But. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I picked up what you're putting down.
Good.
You know, I have to say, I am stupefied that we were able to talk this long about this movie.
Yeah, I usually try to make more generic topics, you know, because if somebody doesn't like a particular movie or particular film, sometimes, you know, they might get bored. If we're saying, oh, we're going to talk about Batman and we, you know, Batman Returns starring Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
People might be like, oh, I didn't care for that one. But the thing about this one is I think it's indicative of one, all of Adam Sandler's movies. We're just talking in general. But then also, why do we find such stupid stuff funny sometimes?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What is it that strikes the funny nerve and how do those have redeeming values? And also, you know, to each their own. Like, there's a lot of Adam Sandler movies. And again, Netflix, they're very highly rated.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, somebody does, let them like it.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, you know, I guess if people liked this one, I would encourage them to, like, let us know. Because
give us a topic.
I'd be interested in doing, like, more things like this. Mm-hmm. And so if there's listeners out there, they're like, yeah, I want you to kind of, like, take apart other classic movies that we really liked and even send us some suggestions. Because
we'd love to.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we would absolutely. Just tell us what you want to hear and we will talk about it. Because there's very few things that we love more than the sound of our own voices.
our own voices and especially the sound of our own voices talking about things that don't matter nor people are interested in listening to.
That is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Pop Culture Problems. We will see you next time? I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but I mean, We haven't gotten the suggestions in yet. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next time.